The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the 12, "Fear no one. Nothing is concealed that will not be revealed, nor secret that will not be known. What I say to you in the darkness, speak in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in Gehenna. Are not two sparrows sold for a small coin? Yet not one of them falls to the ground without your Father's knowledge. Even all the hairs of your head are counted. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Everyone who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my heavenly Father. But whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord. The life of a prophet is a precarious one. And if we look at the three readings today and the people who are highlighted, they were all prophets. Jeremiah, he prophesied in the Old Testament. People didn't like what he had to say. And at one point they arrested him, put him in prison, they threw him in a cistern to die. We don't know exactly how he met his death, but one bit of information says that he was killed by his own people once they were in exile. So he didn't live a happy life, so to speak, as a prophet. Second reading, Paul. Well, Paul was beheaded. He was a great prophet. And of course, in the gospel, we have Jesus, the greatest prophet, and we know what happened to him. So the life of a prophet is oftentimes a very difficult one. Now, here's the bad news for all of you. You are all prophets. In baptism, you were anointed to be a prophet, just like Jeremiah, just like Paul, just like Jesus. And as we know from the scriptures, as I said, the life of a prophet is precarious. What were prophets supposed to be doing? A prophet was one who is called to say to people, "You're going in the wrong direction. What you are doing is evil. You are sinning." That's basically the role of the prophet. Remember, Jesus' first public words were, "Repent and turn back to the gospel. You're sinning. Turn back to the gospel." That's what a prophet says. Now, of course, I'm not suggesting to you that you go out and you put your finger in somebody's face and say you're a sinner, you're going the wrong way. You might get some trouble that you wouldn't necessarily get if you did it, maybe with a little bit more kindness in it. But we're all called to do that. What another way of putting it is we're called to judge the actions of other people. Now, we hear it, this is our society, "Oh, who am I to judge?" Well, that's true in one sense, because I am not God. However, if I'm a sinner, who better to judge than one who knows what sin is all about? So the prophet is also one who knows their own weakness, their own sinfulness, who repents of it. In our case, goes to confession, so that we can go to someone else and say, "What you're doing is sinful. That is evil. That's not what God wants for you." And we can even say, if we're brave enough, "I know, because I'm a sinner too. And I don't want you to suffer the consequences of sin and evil." And that's why we're called to be prophets. Not so that we can lord it over other people and beat them into the ground, but rather we are concerned about the salvation of their soul. That's the purpose of being anointed as a prophet, to go forth just as Jesus did, just as Paul did, just as the saints did, to say to people, "No, that's not right." You'll also hear people say, "Jesus never judged." Well, I don't know what Bible people are using for that, but that the Bible I read, he did a lot of judging. For example, the woman caught in adultery, did he judge her? Yeah, he certainly did judge her. When he sent her away, what did he say? He said, go and sin no more. He's saying what you did was sinful, not just a bad thing. It was sinful. Don't do it again. What he didn't do was punish her. Because of his patience and his love, he didn't punish her. He gave her the opportunity, as God gives all of us the opportunity, to recognize our sins and repent of them for our salvation as well as for our discipleship so that we can go forth and be good prophets. Now again, we hear in the world, you know, people have their own views of things, respect them, etc., etc., but we're not other people. We are Christians. We are members of the church. We have been given the teachings of God through the church. We know what is good, what is evil, what is right, what is wrong. And what would you say about someone who, let's say, is climbing a ladder and there's broken rungs and they're blind? Would you say, well, I don't want to interfere? Well, that would be evil. We would want to say, no, don't go any higher. Now, the person may say, don't tell me what to do. But by saying, don't go any higher, we want to protect them. Again, that's why we want to be able to say to people, that is evil. This is not what God wants. This is what God teaches us. This is what we're supposed to do. This is what we're not supposed to do. So if we care not only about our own salvation, we have to care about the salvation of other people. And there too is the rub in being a prophet. We're told in the Old Testament that if we keep our mouths shut and other people do what is evil, we will be judged for what they're doing. We will be held accountable because we did not give them the information they deserve, they have a right to, from God, so that they could repent. And on the other hand, if we do say it to them and they do whatever they want, at least we have done what we are called to do as God's prophets. So again, in baptism, you and I were anointed to be prophets. And it's a difficult role, but it's an important role. I don't know that any of us are going to have our heads chopped off or that we're going to be crucified. But it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how people react to us when, out of love and kindness, and doing it in the appropriate way, try to correct people. But what does Jesus say about that? He says, be not afraid. Be not afraid. He says it twice in today's gospel. So do we hear that? Be not afraid. So fear is something we choose to embrace, or we say, no, I'm not going there. That's part of Satan's tricks to get me to keep my big mouth shut, so that I can live a peaceful life, so I think, and not say what I'm supposed to say. And Jesus even says, look, your body may be killed, but that's just your body. God holds our spirits, our souls, and one day we will be reunited with our bodies in the resurrection, so we don't even have to worry about that or be afraid. But we do have to take seriously the call each of us has to be a prophet. What do? To prepare for that, number one, prayer. That's all about our relationship with Jesus Christ. Do we take time to pray? Do we know who Jesus is? Do we listen to him? Do we read scripture, which is the voice of God, so that we know in our own lives and out in the world what God intends for the world? Do we celebrate the sacraments? We go to Mass every Sunday so that we can be built up in our faith, so that we can also know how we have sinned and listen to other people who judge us and say, no, that's not right, so we can say, you know, you're right. Thank you. Thank you for pointing that out so that I can repent of my sin. Do I study my faith? Do I know my faith? Have I read the Catechism of the Catholic Church, or one of the different versions of that, the Youth Catechism or the Adult Catechism? Do I know what the Church teaches so that I can not only live a holy life myself, but that out of my desire for eternal salvation, I have a desire for everyone's salvation. So I'm willing to step out in faith and work with other people, accompany them away from the evil that they're doing. But we have that responsibility. One of the morning offerings, and maybe some of you say, the first intention is for the salvation of souls, which means very clearly that it's a question whether everyone or some people or no one will be saved. And Jesus points out that the way to hell is very wide and many people going that way, which indicates there are people damning themselves, and that the way to heaven is narrow, and that a lot of people don't go that way because it can be difficult. It can mean listening to people accuse us of all sorts of things, being hateful, being bigoted, whatever, because we embrace our faith and live it and express it and teach it to others. There's that fear factor that many people give into. They would rather have nice, happy, good relationships with people than be on fire with their faith in Jesus Christ. We cannot get away from the fact that we have been anointed prophets. Now, I suppose you could say, well, I reject all that and not come to church anymore. I'm not sure that we're doing any good in the long run. But since we are prophets, we need to take seriously what that means, living our faith deeply, focusing on our faith, and correcting other people, just as Jeremiah did, just as Paul did, just as Jesus did, just as the saints throughout history did. And to be part of a community, a living, healthy community of believers who correct one another. That's part of the church. Believers are called to correct not just people who may be unbelievers or are out there, but correct believers, fellow believers, out of brotherly love, so that together one day we'll see each other in heaven with God. So think about that this coming week. You are a prophet. You are called to prophesy, which means to correct people. And what do you need to do to be a good prophet? Maybe what fears do you need to confront and say, Lord, here are these fears I have. I put them at the foot of your cross so that we're not carrying them around. And then also remember, what is the point of being a prophet? It's not to hurt people, to lord it over people. It is for the salvation of souls, so that more people will repent, as hopefully we are repenting, and one day be in heaven. So as we go forth, there's lots of people all over the place doing all sorts of things. How do we encounter them? How do we bring the good news of salvation? How do we say what Jesus did and then walk with them, accompany them, and say, you know, I'm a sinner too. I need your help to stay on the straight and narrow, and I want to be there for you so you too know what needs to be done, so that you and I both can walk right up into heaven following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. So, prophet, that's the word for the week. Next week I'll ask you what the word is. We'll see if you remember it. But also you might want to take some notes, how you worked at your prophethood, what you did to grow in it, and how maybe you stepped out in faith and said goodbye fear so that you could bring the gospel message, which is a healing gospel, a joyful gospel, a fulfilling gospel to people. And you will find many people who are more than happy to listen, others maybe not so, but it doesn't matter. We do it because God tells us to do it for the sake of everyone. That's our call. That's our call as Christians. That's our call as disciples, to be good prophets.